brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Results Matter Radio. It is November 20th, 2012, and today's show will be focusing on health law partnership. My guests in the studio this morning are Sylvia Cayley, who is Associate Clinical Professor and Co-Director with HELP Legal Services Clinic and Director of Health Law Partnership. Sylvia, welcome.
Thank you.
Pam Crater is also with us, staff attorney for Health Law Partnership. How are you this morning, Pam?
I'm good, thank you.
Great to be here. And Bridget Byers with us, office manager at HELP at Children's Healthcare Atlanta. Good morning to you,
good
Bridget.
Morning.
And Ashby Kent, partner at Burr and Foreman, is with us again this morning. Ashby, welcome.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you.
So, Sylvia, I would like to have you kind of kick us off in the discussion here by telling us about Health Law Partnership.
Well, the Health Law Partnership, which we affectionately call HELP, is a community collaboration among Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and its three hospital campuses, the Atlanta Legal Aid Society, and Georgia State University College of Law. And the reason we formed this collaboration is that we believe strongly that more heads are better than one at solving problems. And if we can approach children's health care issues in a holistic manner, in other words, physicians and lawyers and other professionals working together to assess all of the problems associated with a young child who may be living in a low-income family and having health challenges, ultimately we can have a more successful outcome for that child and that family. We started our project in 2004, and we've just grown over the years. We developed four different prongs for providing services. First of all, we deliver what we call public health legal services, and we have staff attorneys employed by Atlanta Legal Aid, and also our students work on legal problems that are affecting a child's health. All of our clients are patients at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Those are the only patients that we deal with. And we also have an education prong to our program. We want to prepare everyone in the hospital to be able to identify legal problems that we can work on. And so that takes some concerted, organized professional education to the hospital staff. We also want to prepare the next generation of professionals, be they lawyers, medical students, residents, social work students, public health students, to work collaboratively to do joint problem solving. And so we have a sophisticated education program that Georgia State College of Law is the driver behind. We have an advocacy program because some problems need to be dealt with systemically. And so through our legal practice, issues bubble up that need a systemic fix. And so we work on those.
Right. Oftentimes, sick children have more than just medical problems.
Right.
Pam and Bridget, I want to bring you into the conversation here as well. Through your work in the program, what are some of the things that you've seen that Health Law Partnership addresses specifically that wasn't being dealt with through another channel prior to starting the program?
Well, we have, a lot of children that may have asthma that maybe go into the ER a lot and get released, and then they have to come back again because maybe the house that they're living in has very poor housing conditions. So the doctors in the ER thinking, how can we change the admissions for this child because they're living in a house that has poor housing conditions? So that is something that we're able to help, and they give us our referrals. So that's one issue. Can you think of another one, Bridget?
We have a lot of children who have multiple health issues who require special assistance in school in order to get an education, which would allow them subsequently to become, you know, able to earn a living, able to participate in life that the rest of us get to participate in. And frequently, particularly low-income families had more difficulty getting that those types of services in place. And so sometimes we're able to assist with that kind of thing.
So tell me about the client population that is served by HELP.
We serve children living in low-income families up to 200% of poverty. As I said before, every case comes to us through Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Children's has roughly 550,000 patient visits a year, and the rule of thumb we use is that at least 50% of those patients are financially eligible for us. And if we can assist the health team in addressing the socioeconomic issues that are affecting health, then we're going to have better outcomes.
Now, Sylvia, earlier you were talking about the four prongs of the programming. Did you go through all of those? We went through two of them.
Public health legal services, our education component, our systemic advocacy component, and then we have a research and evaluation component, because we believe that our model is capable of replication. And if you believe that addressing healthcare problems in a holistic manner to improve outcomes, then a project like ours should be in every hospital in America.
Absolutely. Now, the interdisciplinary approach, how does that help create that holistic perspective for the clients that are being served?
Well, it's actually incorporating the lawyer onto the healthcare team. And we have found that when we're sort of physically on the ground in the hospital, like our lawyer at Children's at Eggleston, her office is on the fourth floor across from the butterfly elevators, and everybody in the hospital knows that. And so because so much education has been provided since 2004, the healthcare provider recognizes, ooh, this is a case where there's a legal problem affecting the health. I should call the HELP lawyer. I should refer this case to the HELP lawyer. I should tell my client to ride the elevator down to the fourth floor to see the health lawyer. I should call the HELP lawyer and say, can you come to patient room 23 to see this family, because they could really use your help.
Now, who is eligible for HELP services?
All of our clients have children who are being treated by Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. They don't have to be inpatient. Children's has a number of clinics, outpatient clinics and rehab clinics, and they can be treated in those ways. And they must be under 200% of federal poverty level. And there are also some limitations on people's immigration status. We are unable to assist with certain types of problems for people who are undocumented.
Absolutely, that makes sense. Ashby, do you have any questions or comments as regarding what we've heard thus far about HELP?
Well, I will say I have been involved with HELP now for probably, what, 4 years?
Three years?
Oh, at least.
Okay. You know, HELP is such an amazing organization, and when I was introduced to HELP, it was through the Atlanta Legal Aid Society, and I was in the process of trying to find a pro bono project, for lack of a better term. Our firm, we had a lot of lawyers that were individually participating in various types of pro bono work, but we didn't have an organized project to really get behind as a firm. And so since I was, at the time, I was on the advisory committee of Atlanta Legal Aid, I worked with the executive director of Legal Aid, Steve Gottlieb, and he helped me kind of interview or find different areas through Atlanta Legal Aid that were potential candidates for our firm's pro bono project. And I remember I went to Children's and I met with Bridget and Sylvia,
And I was really amazed because I thought, well, the health law partnership, well, I'm a litigator. I'm not a health lawyer. I'm not a benefits lawyer. I'm not an education lawyer. You know, I'll give it a shot, but, you know, see what they have to say. But at first, I was like, well, I don't really know if this is the project for my firm, which is really a business-focused firm. And then when I met with Bridget and Sylvia and learned about the variety of legal services that HELP provides to its client base, it was truly eye-opening. And what we have begun to do for HELP is our firm does pro bono guardianship projects. A lot of the client base at Children's, you'll find they're in non-traditional family situations. You may have a child that has been raised primarily by a sibling or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent. And that's certainly not novel out in our communities, but what happens is when the child does have a healthcare need, a lot of times the individual who has been raising that child does not have the legal right to make the health and welfare decisions that need to be made at the time. So my firm has started to do guardianship appointments for these families. And it's been a perfect, amazing project for us because it really, truly involves lawyers and staff members from all of our practice areas. We don't have any health lawyers. We don't have any education lawyers. We don't have any benefits lawyers. Yet all of our litigators and our corporate lawyers have been able to get involved with these projects. It's really taken off. I think right now we have 8 active cases, guardianship cases, and they're being handled anywhere from the managing partner of our Atlanta office, Eric Durlacher, down to some of our junior associates. One of our new associates, Adam Sonenshine, who just started with us in September, has 3 active cases that he's working on. And because of the way that the guardianships are set up, they're very statutory. It's, you know, they're forms driven. So our corporate lawyers can help out and meet the families and filling out the forms and getting everything ready to go, and then our litigators can step in, file them with the court, and actually attend the hearings with our staff members who get very attached to the families and oftentimes go to the evaluations and the hearings with the lawyers. So it's been a wonderful project for our firm. Obviously, the organization is wonderful from all perspectives. Georgia State College of Law. It's great for, you know, our visibility in recruiting. It's Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Who doesn't support Children's Healthcare of Atlanta? Atlanta Legal Aid. Who, you know, it's just such a wonderful collaborative of amazing organizations, and we're very proud to have become partnered with HELP.
Absolutely, well, it's phenomenal, Bridget.
And your firm's willingness to take on these cases allows us to serve many more clients than we could serve on our own because we're such a small group. So it's tremendously helpful to us and our clients.
And Burr Foreman was the first firm to actually adopt us, and we're very grateful for that. And we hold Burr Foreman out as a model to other firms regarding. We've got an endless number of special projects that firms could sort of help us out with.
It sounds like there's a lot to be done as you continue the work. So talk about how HELP services really help address systemic problems at a root cause level, and having access to these types of services help you address those issues.
Well, one interesting example is cases come into us every day, and once a week we have a case acceptance meeting where we review everything that was non-emergency and triage them for, should that be a case that one of our lawyers handles? Is it a case for a volunteer at Burr Foreman, for instance?
Okay.
Do we need to find a lawyer down in South Georgia to try and work on the case? And so every week we have these meetings and we see trends. And one of the trends we saw was young kids with head injuries now having traumatic brain injuries who had been in motor vehicle accidents. And we were wondering, why are all these kids having head injuries like this? And in kind of a just off-the-cuff conversation with someone at Children's, we asked, you know, we're seeing these things. And they said, yeah, we're seeing them too, and it worries us. And it turns out that in Georgia, for a certain age group of kids, they were, under the law, able to ride in a seat with a seatbelt, but they were actually too small to sit in a car with just a seatbelt. And so what we did as an advocacy issue is do all the research around and draft the legislation to increase the age that young children need to sit in a booster seat in a car.
Wow.
And so now we've got a research project going on about, so has this made a difference? And we're not going to know. We need at least 3 or 4 years of data, and we're only in year two, right, at this point. But I think we can say we've seen fewer kids between the ages of 5 and 8 with traumatic brain injuries from motor vehicle accidents.
It's interesting that with that visibility, you're able to get a lens on those types of issues and then create an advocacy program to make sure that you're doing something to solve those issues at the root cause. How about the evaluation of the services? Is there a research and evaluation component at HELP?
Yes, it's a rigorous one, and we set it up before we ever had our first case because with Georgia State being a partner, it's an academic institution, and so education and evaluation, research, scholarship are a way of life. And from the very beginning, we've had a public health program evaluator work with us. We have institutional review board approval. This is to protect human subjects and research projects at both Children's and Georgia State. And we evaluate everything that we do. We evaluate our clients' experiences with us. We evaluate all of our students who come through our educational programs. We ask our volunteer lawyers, did we support you well? Did you have the training you needed in order to provide the legal services that, you know, as Ashby said, were outside her zone of professional comfort in the beginning? We evaluate the people who refer cases to us. And so we collect all this information. And when we started, we didn't have a medical champion. But over time, Children saw the value of us and realized that we really needed a medical champion. And so they identified one of their faculty members to become basically our medical director. And we've been talking about this data that we had. We're lawyers now. You know, we've got this data, but we didn't know what to do with it. And I think within his first week with us, he came out to meet Bridget and look at our database and look at our data. And he was overwhelmed because at that point, I think we had 6 years of data that was just sitting there that we collected from all of our evaluation components. And he was going, we need to start telling the world about our experience and we need to start writing articles. And so right this year, I think in the last 2 years, we've written and had published or they're accepted for publication and not yet out 10 different articles about our experience.
Now, Sylvia, I mean, you're a professor, so you're teaching law students and you're seeing a lot of information about sort of this intersection of health and poverty and working with law students and community partners to help address these health-related issues from a legislative and a regulatory standpoint. Talk about some of your observations or what you think are some top priorities right now.
For our students?
For health as it relates to poverty and from a legislative perspective.
I would love to see the Medicaid expansion in the state of Georgia. I hope and that there's a lot of education around the exchanges that will come online in 2014. I think we need to protect our safety net for our clients. I think we see an increase and have seen over the years an increase in the numbers of cases referred to us and in the acuity of their both health and legal problems. And we've got a lot of holes in the safety net, so that's a concern. And our students see that. You know, they come into our clinic because they want to develop their professional skills, and we use the Health Law Partnership as a vehicle for that. They see our clients, they meet the healthcare providers, they work on the cases, and for many, it's a life-changing experience. Now, we're not going to turn every law student into a legal aid lawyer like Pam, but we hope that every student will want to give back to their community and perhaps aspire to be an Ashby Kent.
Absolutely. Well, Pam and Ashby, talk about your experiences working in HELP and what really drew you to the organization and the powerful role that you see it playing in society.
Well, what really drew me was when I see clients that have sick children, and sometimes they just need an advocate to do the simplest thing, and they've got so many other things on their plate. They're worried about how they're going to pay their rent. They're worried about how they're going to put food on their tables. They're worried about how they're going to pay their electric bill, how they're going to have gas money to get their child to their various appointments, and then maybe they have an education issue where they're realizing that their child's not getting the services and support that they need to be successful, and they just don't have the energy or the wherewithal to sit and research how to do it. So sometimes just the smallest effort on the part of an advocate can make a huge difference, and that's what is just so unbelievably rewarding.
And I would say really, it was the concept behind HELP that was so intriguing. I talked a little bit before just about how the guardianship projects in particular are so well suited for lawyers and staff members and people of all practice areas and expertise. It has really been a very a great team builder for our firm, and people have really been very excited about the project because of the client base. And I think that all of us out there can sympathize and can really relate to people that are dealing with the financial and emotional and physical burdens of having a child with a disability. And that's something that could happen to any of us, and that's something that pretty much all of us have dealt with in our families and in our friends' families and in our communities. So I think the client base that HELP services is such it's an easy sell. It was a very easy sell for the firm when we were getting involved with the project. But then there's also such a practical, it almost seems obvious when you hear Sylvia talk about it, but it's something that I had not thought about before, which is this holistic approach to improving healthcare, and not just the warm, fuzzy, feel-good aspects of that, but the practical considerations of that. Obviously, when you have a child that's readmitted, like Pam was talking about, if you have the same child being readmitted for asthma-related conditions into the ER numerous times per year, imagine the drain not only on the family's emotional and financial resources, which are obviously very limited for our population, but the healthcare costs that are absorbed with that and how that trickles out to our healthcare costs in general. And so by taking this approach, not only are we doing a good thing that makes us feel good, but we're really having a pragmatic impact on our community and our healthcare system in general. So it seems so obvious why that's such a great idea. And it was so intriguing to me when I first met with Sylvia and Bridget and learned about the program, because like I said, it just seemed, it was such a great concept, and I had never really thought about that interrelation before.
It's awesome. It's a huge ripple effect, and I can see why Baron Foreman's been so enthusiastic in their support of the program. Simply amazing when you think about it. Now, Bridget, what are some of the things that you've seen along the way? I'm sure each of you has stories or can recollect a particular case or a situation where you've seen the child really have a life-changing situation come out of working or being able to take advantages of the services at HELP. Any cases that come to mind, any of you?
Well, I have one that actually comes to mind. Is I had a client who had sickle cell, and he had a severe phonological disorder, and that means he can't speak well at all. And it was so bad that even members of his own family, his mom, his dad, his sisters, they couldn't understand anything he was saying. and he had got denied for SSI, and he definitely fit the elements to be able to meet and get SSI, but he was denied, and without an advocate, he would not have got – he got SSI and he got Medicaid, and with that Medicaid, he was able to get the speech therapy that he needed, because currently, or when I took the case, he was able to see the speech pathologist maybe twice a month, and this was a child who needed to be there three times a week. And that made a huge difference in his life, because this was the time when he was about five that he really needed those services.
Absolutely.
And I have a case that was a very meaningful case. It was one of my first volunteer cases for help and my first adult guardianship. But there was a family, and I think this speaks to how help can touch all of us. There was a family who was not initially a low-income family. They would not have qualified for help services at all. They were very middle class, very everyman America. And they had a child who had an undiagnosed congenital heart defect. And when she was a beautiful child, very vibrant and energetic, she was on the swim team, on the cheerleading team. She loved to roller skate. And when she was 17, she had a heart attack. She was out at a facility that facility did not have a defibrillator, or and where they were located, they were not close to any medical care facility. So by the time she got the aid that she needed, she had been deprived of oxygen for a very long amount of time, and as a result, became essentially in a vegetative state. And the parents, who were married, had differences about termination of life issues, so that ended their marriage. The husband, they both parents understandably went through a lot of emotional trauma. It was their only child.
Absolutely.
And so the husband moved away. The wife, of course, had been on her husband's insurance and had not been working. And so the wife, who had not wanted to terminate life support, then was left with the burden of caring for a child who was in this condition, with no job, no resources, no insurance. And so she became a help client. And by being able to, when the child turned 18, of course, you know, the biological mother was able to make the decisions for the child during her minority. But when she became 18, we were able to help her with an adult guardianship. And it was just so amazing to see the child in her state. Her days and nights were mixed up, so the child would be awake during the night but sleep during the day. And so the mother's schedule was all turned around. So frequently we would talk very late in the evening when she would be waking up. And so it was to see a family and that could happen to any of us. I always say, you know, we're all one catastrophic injury away from needing the services of our safety nets and of our communities.
Of course.
And so to see that in action and to be able to help that family, who I think anybody can relate to, was very moving and very meaningful.
Thank you for such a powerful story. That was wonderful. Well, ladies, this has been amazing to hear about all of the great work that you're doing at HELP. We've got a tradition here on the Results Matter show where we talk about results, and Ashby just shared a great one with us right now. I'd like to go around the table now and have each of you share what are the results that matter to you around HELP's program, and as you consider continue to see it grow and the effects blossom, what are the results that we can all look forward to seeing, because you've certainly created some amazing ones already. Bridget, why don't we start with you?
I think it's kind of hard to focus on one type of thing. I personally have a strong feeling about education and how important it is for our future as a country. And certainly the ability to help these children get the supports they need to be successful in school, I think, is tremendously important. We have a whole new crop of volunteer attorneys who are helping us with those cases, and that has increased our ability to meet that need. And I think it will continue to grow over time because, unfortunately, you know, the schools are pushed for money right now. Everything's tight. Budgets have been cut. And unfortunately, the need for the services has not gone down, just the money and the supports to provide those services. So I think that's going to be an increasing need for us.
Absolutely. And you bring up a good point, actually. Are there volunteer opportunities available? And let's go ahead and give the website so people know where they can find more information.
It's www.healthlawpartnership.org. And there are all kinds. We would love to talk to people about cases they would like to handle.
Excellent. Pam?
Goodness, there's so many. But I think the story that I touched on before with the child with the SSI, I think that is something that I would really like to make a difference in. Because I people get discouraged. They don't realize it's kind of a chess game. You apply and you get denied. I mean, there's no way around that. Then you ask for a request for reconsideration and you get denied. And I think people get discouraged thinking, wow, maybe my child doesn't really fit that category. And oftentimes they do, and they just need a little bit of encouragement to keep going through the effort.
So important to have an advocate mm-hmm. on your side. And Sylvia?
Well, all of these things are important to me, being the mother of help, so to speak. But I think long-term change is going to come through the education of our professionals to think holistically, to have physicians have a different view of attorneys and how they can actually help in the problem-solving arena in the delivery of healthcare services, in educating law students about the need to be involved in their community and to give of themselves after they graduate, to have other members of the team, the healthcare team in particular, be open to collaborative problem solving. And we're seeing this happen, but it's an ongoing, long-term process that, you know, I'd love to look at the results in 5 years from now.
We all look forward to seeing the results 5 years from now because it's definitely on a great path. Ashby, any closing comments? Bern Forman's obviously been a big force in helping help along the way.
Well, I would just say I think the most important thing is raising awareness of not only HELP's services, but of HELP's mission. And that's to tie into what Sylvia said. If people can start to think differently about how we can collaborate in a meaningful way and changing the way people think about how lawyers fit into the process and how we as professionals can contribute to improving healthcare overall for the children and families in our communities, I think that's a really important thing. And I hope that my firm is doing a good job of that to try and encourage support in the legal community for these types of programs.
Excellent. Well, ladies, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much for coming into the studio. Once again, that's healthlawpartnership.org, where you can find out more information about Health Law Partnership. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and you've been listening to Results Matter Radio on BusinessRadioX.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Forman and Business Radio X. Burr and Forman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Forman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.